Dick. This morning, I am very excited to be with you. The reason is I love New Year's Day. Having a new year, a fresh year to start all over again, that's one of the best things that we can experience. I don't know about you, but when it comes to the new year, I get pretty sick and tired of seeing New Year, New Me on Facebook. I don't know if you're on social media, but every year someone says, New Year, New Me. What in the world does that mean? Does that mean they thought about themselves all year long and how bad they are and what they want to change? And now the new year is here, they want to change everything? Is that what that means? I think that's what it is. Then year after year goes by and we don't really see any real change, do we? Nothing really changes. We may say we want to lose weight. We want to be more active in the community. We may want to go to work all the time. We may want to do this for our children and so on. But when it comes to real life changing stuff, most of us never really see that goal being accomplished. So what I want to do this morning is give you some realistic goals that you could set for yourself were you so inclined. I would challenge you to do so, in fact. These are all things that if you do them, not just because it's a new year, but because you want to see your spiritual life improve, I guarantee you, you will see a better you by the end of the year. And I make that guarantee because the Bible tells us that we should be doing these things anyway. So if we need an excuse to get them done and a new year is here, let's use all the ammo that we have to try and get this accomplished. So I have some recommendations about what we could accomplish this year if we begin today. One thing that I want to mention on the onset of this, I'm not going to mention this again, meaning that you are not accountable to me to keep these things going. You're accountable to yourself, if you so choose, and of course to God, who is of course important enough to do these things for Him anyway. So, with this new year, here are some things that we could consider starting now that we're on the very first day. If you start now, it's like never missing a Monday for a workout, right? You've heard that saying before, never miss a Monday. That kind of just means if you can skip on a Monday, the very first day of the week, it makes it easier to skip on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday. And then 6 months goes by and I've got 30 extra pounds of weight somewhere in this midsection. Here is the very first day of this year. So here are some challenges for you. This one should be pretty simplistic, should be very easy, should be very easy for us to understand as well. Let's resolve to increase the study of God's Word. And when I say that, most people that are here will just say, oh yeah, of course, and then tune me out for the next 5 minutes. What I mean by that is not just increase how often you crack the binding or you push the app on your phone of your Bible, but instead actually make it quality time. I would personally much rather spend 5 minutes a day in the Bible but glean something from it than spend 30 minutes a day reading it like I'm reading a novel and just breeze right through it. One of the great things about Bible Bowl, just to plug it for those two guys that are here to kind of get this thing started off right this year, Bible Bowl is great because they take an entire book, if not multiple books, and they memorize basically that entire book. They look at one verse from every single angle. So if they ask a question about the first third of the verse, you know the answer. The middle part of the verse, you know the answer. The last third of the verse, you know the answer. They ask five questions basically per every verse that they try and learn. You get so much out of that. You almost become kind of nitpicky. You get to a point to where when someone quotes something or says something and you know it's not right, in your mind you have this little nagging Eddie voice or Keith voice saying, I know that what they said was not correct and I could challenge them right now and embarrass them, but I'm going to refrain and just be polite and say, you know, I don't think that's exactly what that says. Let's actually look at it. And now you have an opportunity to impart that to somebody else. So when I say let's resolve to increase our study of God's Word, we should already be doing that, right? Every day we should be trying to strive to learn more about the Word of God. So number one, Bible Bowl is very significant in helping do that for you. It's basically forced study time, right? So it's almost mandatory. If you're not doing it, you might feel left out. So if you're looking for community, looking for friends, looking to increase your Bible knowledge, Bible Bowl is your ticket. It's right there. It's free, right? We didn't even charge you for it. We could be charging an entrance fee, right? Application fee and all that, but we're not. So anyway, increasing study of God's Word, Bible Bowl is one very significant tool that you can use. Were you so inclined? Number two, did you know that we have a very hardworking secretary here for this congregation? She'll remain nameless, but she's very hardworking. She works so hard to make that bulletin for you every week. Not only is there an article from me every single week in that thing for you to read or not read, whatever the case may be, but there's also a little section about today's or this week's scripture reading. She provides that for you, that when you get a bulletin, you have literally the verses right there. If you want to read through the Bible this year, the verses are provided for you. There are Bible apps that have notifications to where that phone will go off and tell you, if you want to start a reading plan, we will annoy you with the Bible until you read it. We love having our phones and our iPads and all our devices with us all the time to be pestered by our loved ones and our work associates, right? We get emails, we get text messages. Well, now the very Word of God can annoy you until you pay it attention like you should in the first place, right? So that's one tool that you can use as well. Reading through the Bible in that kind of way, in a structured way, will help you stay motivated if you do it at the same time every single day. It's going to be a great tool for you to use as well. So one very simple, one very obvious thing that I would resolve for us all to do is increase our study of God's Word. One thing that we should also do, a second resolution that you may want to adopt this year, is a bit more personal. And when I say it's more personal, this is something that I can't bother you about. I can't really give you any more insight than what you probably already got about this next thing. This next thing is try to improve your prayer life. And that's a very personal thing. So you've got to be dedicated to want to communicate to God to be able to do it. No one can prove or disprove that you're praying, right? Whenever you're in school, when you're in public school or in college and you get caught with your eyes closed, a good excuse is always, "Oh, I was just praying, professor," right? We want to make sure we're being honest about that and we're actually increasing the amount of time that we are dedicated in communication to God. Paul had this mindset. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, very short, very easy to memorize verse, pray without ceasing. Now, that's not meant literally, or every time Paul thought or said or did anything, that would be part of his prayer life. But there's a certain mindset that goes along with, we don't have to be collectively assembled as a congregation to pray to God. We don't have to be around the kitchen table about to partake of a meal to pray to God. You don't have to be in your bed at night about to go to sleep and pray to God. There is no set time, place, location, or way that we are supposed to communicate to God when Paul says pray without ceasing. How is your worship? How is your worship experience? This is a legitimate rhetorical question. Don't answer me. This is the opposite of Bible class, right? I do want you to talk then, don't you talk now. Worship has always been difficult for me because I never grew up in a church atmosphere. This is me being completely honest and transparent with you. It's difficult for me to be able to communicate what worship really is. We know what we're supposed to do to worship God. He's given us commands, given us examples. We know that giving, the Lord's Supper, and so on are part of our worship assembly. But what about the moments in between those acts? Where do you find your mind going? If it goes to sleep, something's wrong, right? I know we're all tired. Might have been a late night last night, but our mind needs to be engaged. Our heart needs to be engaged in what we're doing when it comes to worship, especially. your prayer life can greatly affect and magnify your worship life as well. What I mean is, one trick that was taught to me when I was a new convert was, in the moments between the emblems, in between the acts of worship that we do, when there's the pause, when there's the coughing, when there's the kids, when there's just those moments where our minds could wander away from really what we're doing. We're sitting at the feet of our God, our loving Father, and we are worshiping Him for all that He is and all that He has done. What a better moment to go to Him silently in prayer and to stay focused in that moment. If we resolve to increase our prayer life, that will bleed over into our worship life, but also into our personal life. Before we make decisions for our family, at work, or every single day, even in traffic sometimes, we can have a moment where we pause, we collect our thoughts, we communicate with our Father, and we're more centered, more focused on what God and what Christ would have us to do. So when Paul says, pray without ceasing, that bleeds over into our worship and into our personal lives as well. So one thing that we can do, we can utilize the tools that we have to increase the study that we have with the Word of God, Him communicating to us, and secondly, we can communicate more with Him through a personal prayer relationship with Him, us communicating to God. One way that we can, again, improve ourselves this year is to resolve to increase evangelism. And that's kind of almost a clinical way of saying it. I really don't like using that word evangelism because we don't really know what it means, do we? That word is a religious word because we just took it from the Greek, put it to the Latin, and brought it over to the English. The word evangelism literally means to bear the good news or to bear or carry the gospel. So when we say we want to increase our evangelism, we want to have a better impact by bringing the gospel to people in our lives. That's what we want to do. Now, if we want to do that, and we want to work towards improving our evangelism opportunities, we're going to have to actually actively try and do that. One thing that I would recommend to you, if evangelism is difficult for you, if you find it difficult to talk about God or religion with your people in your home, people at work, people you meet in the community, try and set small, achievable goals for yourself. I know if I say I want to bench 400 pounds right now, I'm going to die. I would immediately just cease to live. The breath would leave my body because that bar would crash into my neck and Alan would go on to his reward, right? I need to set small, incremental, achievable goals to reach a large goal. If you want to change the world through the gospel, that's a large goal. And we can't reach that overnight. We can't even affect our entire community overnight. But if we all together, collectively, set small, achievable goals for ourselves and talking with people about the Bible, we can achieve that. So here's one exercise that I would recommend that has worked well for me, worked well for others, and I would recommend to you. There is someone that you know in your personal life. Either you live with them, they're in your household, they're part of your family, they're part of your co-worker associate group, or they're in your neighborhood. You know them. You have a relationship with them. They know your name, you know their name. And yet they're not faithful Christians. Think about that one person that you know that you could talk with, that you could focus on, not pester with, but that you could influence and bring the good news to them. If you think about that one person, and just try for 1 month to reach them with the gospel. Either they reject it, or they accept it, or they're pushed a little bit further down the line to accepting it. You've achieved a goal, right? At least you planted a seed. So when we say we want to increase evangelism, we sometimes just say that, and then we read the commands of how we're supposed to do it, And then I give you a guilt trip about how you're not doing it. And then you start this whole cycle of not feeling good about the gospel because you feel guilty about it. Instead, by looking at the positives and saying what we can accomplish and what we can achieve, we start this new year on a positive note, right? So that would be my recommendation to you, is to think about someone in your life that you could positively influence with the gospel and attempt to work on that relationship with them. The worst they can do is just say they're not interested, right? That's the worst they're going to do. One more thing that I would recommend is there are some habits. There are some lifestyle choices, and I use that word very lightly, that maybe we could reflect on where we spend our time, where we spend our energy, and where we spend our money. Think about the last year, and this is all, of course, individual. Think about what you've been investing in with your time, with your energy, and with your money. Are they things that are actually worthwhile? Or could you, at the beginning of this new year, resolve to make some changes to your personal life that would better reflect the cause of Christ? Have you seen too many movies? Are you going on too many date nights? Are there things in your life that are affecting you, that are preventing you from being the most effective steward of what God has given you? He's given us time, He's given us energy, He's given us financial resources to be good stewards of those gifts for the cause of Christ. Are we actually doing that? Or could we make small tweaks to our lifestyle to be more effective in our work for the Lord? Here's one that I would recommend to absolutely everyone here. Now, I know that there are some people that are present this morning who this is not going to be a problem for them. It will not be achievable. But there are others who it's very much achievable. My recommendation is to resolve to attend more services of the assembled congregation here. Now, rarely do I mention the assembly and showing up for worship, showing up for Bible class, because to be honest with you, I over-preached it for a little bit too long. I got it stuck in my mind that if you didn't attend every single service, every single time there was sin in your life. And the more I got to know people, and the more I got to know their circumstance, and their home life, and their professional life, the more I recognized that that was not going to be possible for every person of the congregation. However, that does not mean that we cannot resolve to want to attend more services of the congregation. We know that church attendance is not the end-all, be-all of the Christian life, despite what you may have heard from other preachers. We do like talking about Hebrews 10:25 and not forsaking the assembly, as is the manner of some, but instead encouraging more and more as the day is approaching. That verse is definitely still in the Bible, but that's not all that the Christian life has to offer. There are more things that we must do and should be doing than just showing up. In fact, you can show up but not actually be here, right? You could be present this morning but not actually be worshiping with us at all. So when I say attend more services, I don't mean just show up for the sake of showing up to feel less guilty. I mean be actively engaged in what that gathering is all about. If we are here to collectively, as a congregation, learn more about the Word of God, be active in that. Come prepared. Be willing to learn and to contribute for everyone to benefit from that. If you're showing up for worship, which everyone here hopefully has showed up for worship, right? We're all present. Make sure that you're actively engaged. We talked about before. Be present in that worship experience. Know what you're doing and why you're doing it and so on. It's so important to have your heart engaged when it comes to worship as well. So showing up for more services is definitely one thing that's not going to hurt you. It's going to benefit you, if anything. One thing to mention on that, which is just a very practical thing. If you look in our bulletins and you've been paying attention, you'll see our attendance has been tracked for quite a while, right? We have Sunday morning Bible class numbers for how many people are present. We have morning worship, we have evening worship, and we have midweek or Wednesday Bible study tract as well. Now, numbers are not everything, don't get me wrong. But when you see only a quarter of the members that worship here come back for worship in the evening, and even less than that on Wednesday night, and then we have visitors show up who, out of their vacation schedule, are present to worship God, we're giving a message that's not very strong. So I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty of any of this. I know that there are work situations and family situations that are going to affect attendance. But I know that we can do better. Personally, collectively, we can do better. And I guarantee you, if you resolve and commit to be present for more Bible studies and more worship services, you are going to be encouraged, and you will be an encouragement to those who are here as well. And that's what Hebrews 10:25 and following is talking about, encouraging one another, lifting one another up. But if you don't show up, you can't lift me up. It's one idea behind that entire context. So that one is very practical. It's very easy to understand, but it takes commitment and discipline to be able to resolve to do that. And the final one that I have as a suggestion for you this morning is the one that's most painful to mention. If you thought that last one was difficult to say, this one is even more difficult to say. We have people that are very faithful in their attendance in Bible class and worship. And they've heard me talk about the gospel nonstop for at least 2 years since I've been here. And they still have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know there are people who we know about that we love. We love them. We love their soul. And we have to be very careful when and how we talk about these people that aren't Christians who are here faithful. Because we don't want to offend them. We don't want to run them off or make them feel unwanted or unwelcome. But at the same time, if we never say anything, then we're doing them a disservice. So the final thing that I would recommend for us to resolve this year, to be better this year than we were the year before, if you have been lingering, if you have been waiting, if you have just been dragging your feet when it comes to making the commitment to be reborn, to have your new spiritual life started, to have your sins washed away, what in the world are you waiting for? The time is now. We're not promised tomorrow. God has blessed us with this opportunity and this opportunity alone. There are people here that love you. God loves you. So whatever it is that's keeping you from making that commitment, if we can help in any way, we will bend over backwards to help you into the kingdom of God this morning. I make these recommendations not just for you, but for myself as well. I struggle with all these very daily practical things as much as you do. Although my life is devoted to this work, I still struggle. So if I need to hear this and you need to hear this, we all need to hear this. So I say it very lovingly and hopefully with the approval of God's word that we can do better this year than we did last year, if only we commit to this resolution. If anyone has a need to come forward, please do so now. Stand and we sing.